It is National Poetry Month, and we talked this morning with poet Jasmine Manns about her new collection, Black Girl Call Home. The collection explores the intersection of race, feminism, and queer identity. It is a deeply emotional and personal ode to the places we come from and a piercing meditation on identity. Jasmine Manns caused a stir when a video of her performing her poem Footnotes for Kanye went viral on YouTube. Since then, she has continued to build a following through her live performances at venues like the Kennedy Center, the New Amsterdam Theater, and on stages across the country. Her new book is Black Girl Call Home, and it is a great pleasure to welcome Jasmine Manns to the roundtable this morning. Jasmine, thank you very much for being with us. What a great pleasure.
The pleasure is mine.
So give us a sense of how this particular collection came about and what goes into creating a collection like this.
We always, as writers, right, engage in the idea of, if given the opportunity to publish a book, what it would look like. And my start was digging inward, right, thinking about myself, my mother, and my idea of home. And so the ideas started there, and that became my outline in order to investigate so many questions that I had about myself and about women before me. So that is where we started with Black Girl Call Home. And then it took on a lot of not only internal investigation, but also scholarly investigation of, like, what has happened before me, and what stories should I honor? What stories are valuable? What language do I honor as I dig into myself? And so this was just my opportunity to investigate.
What is the challenge of investigation in such a form, in the sense of, is that the most natural way for you to investigate such things?
The most challenging thing is wanting to hear the answers. I think that, and sometimes it's asking the right questions. But there, what's interesting about being a Black woman is that there's so many things that exist in the world that you just don't know to ask about your history. And there are so many questions that I never thought to consider around mentally ill folks and narratives around people who were in bondage. And so the investigation allowed me room to ask more questions and not find any finite answers. And then when you have a host of language and history and as a poet, your job isn't to have the answers, but is to create a display of what you have found with the questions. Where did that leave your heart? Where did that leave your body? And how can you display this question that allows your audience to investigate more?
I'm hoping you can read one of the poems from the collection.
Oh, yeah. Would you like a long one or a short one?
Oh, I'll take a long one.
I stared at a picture of Dorothy Dandridge and Harry Belafonte, wondered if we still fight the same or bite the same, if they ever made more love than sense, if they ever stared at our generation and wondered where all the fireflies went. Did they all die, or did they just not find us worth the light? Did they not find us worthy enough of them dressing to the nines in their shine, just waiting to become falling stars between the hands of a blushing girl in front of another, waiting to give up her audacity and her world? I promise you that if I died tonight in these sheets, I would still want you next to me. Like this love survived all of those riots. I know when you are scared, I held your hand when the hurricane came. Pass me my lighter. I'm sorry I made you cry. I don't care if you cry. I will always wipe your tears when you cry. And I know you did not give me permission to, but I already started asking God about you. I told him if he doesn't mind, I'd like to make it to heaven before you do. To run your bath water, to make you a plate, to turn your TV to your favorite channel and turn it off and make you believe that you left it that way. And I vow to never to open the door for a scent other than yours. And I promise to always remember your scent, and that we will laugh at everything that hurt when we were humans, like when we were poor, when we slept on our bedroom floor on Leslie Street, when we only had water and grilled cheese. The moment you said, baby, I may not have any money, but I got a soft spot and a melody and a pair of arms that could rock you to sleep. So what? Are you thinking about taking a chance on me? That was the light from page 155.
From the collection, which is Black Girl Call Home by yes. Jasmine Manns. The book is published by Berkeley. You created a stir with your performance of a poem, Footnotes, for Kanye. That went viral on YouTube. And I know that you have done a lot of live performance and have gone before audiences, you know, when you could do that, and to go before audiences and read your work. How much has that been a part of even the equation of your writing and the way that you create the art that you do?
Yeah, like as we study poetry, there's something as beat poetry that uses the method of sound and delivery and voice and not only voice but dialect, right? Like Black language to say and pronounce spoken word. And so when we think in terms of poetry as well, we think about spoken word as a particular genre of poetry that renders itself to the stage, to the recitation, to oration. And so that is something that I've grown up to love language, to speak, and something that I enjoy engaging with. And then speaking, right, also helps us understand how we want to engage in the audience and voice and voice manipulation. And so the performance is a beautiful part, and spoken word is a beautiful genre of poetry that I grew up in. And I hope that some of these poems people desire to speak out loud.
What do you think it was about Footnotes for Kanye that created the interest that it did?
Oh, it was amazing. It was genius. But no.
Well, yes, there is that.
It was a carefulness, though. It was like I wanted to write this piece, and I knew it was going to be a weighty piece. I'm a poet and I exist in the poetry community. And so when we write poems often, we think about our community of poets, right? These literary artists who are just as like complex with language and literature as you are to think about these words. You don't think about the outside world catching on to something. But when I was writing this piece in particular, it was a carefulness that I wanted to write it with. There was a study in which I wrote it with of me trying to understand my relationship with this man and his music and why I didn't like him so much after being in love with him as an artist. And I don't know if you have one of those artists or basketball players or athletes that you revere and they mean something to you. And then there's a moment where they're now ugly. And I was investigating what felt ugly. Were you holding Kanye accountable to something that was not due to you? Is there a conversation around appropriation here? Is there a conversation about just not him showing up to be the artist or the person that we were convinced he would be? And all of these dynamics that we wanted to ask, but we didn't know if it was appropriate. And as a young person, as a scholar of not only like poetry, but his work, that was my way of exploring my dynamics and my confusion and my feelings.
And it's interesting because with him especially, there is also the mental illness aspect of it, right? That makes it more confusing as to how you can feel and how you can't.
Absolutely. And that's something that, like, when I wrote the piece, I didn't have a big wraparound in my understanding of Kanye. And so we see so many dynamics that have shifted that offer so much more complexity to the conversation. What standards do we hold rappers to? How do we acknowledge people who have mental illness and also live in the public eye? What questions do we ask of ourselves? And so that piece has taught me so much tremendously, especially when it comes to art and time.
The themes that you write about, of course, race and queer identity, feminism, those, I assume, are far from conscious. They are just you, right?
I mean, they are me. They are what make up so much of me, absolutely.
But in the sense of you don't go into, in the process of creativity, you don't go in to say, I'm going to write a poem where I examine this.
I do that often, too. Yes. And so I think there are like multiple ways of which I approach my poetry, and there are multiple ways of which I approach a lot of these poems, and they're all different. Sometimes there is a way of scholarship in which I approach the poem where I'm just like researching and reading and learning and then taking back and investigating what I've learned. There are moments where I'm writing from pure emotion, and then there are moments where I'm literally like deliberately and being very technical about writing dialogue that maybe is very distant from my emotions. And so there is so many ways of approaching a poem based on what kind of poem it is, and I'm learning just to like acknowledge the multiple ways.
When you look at how you take this forward, I mean, you were, as I said, you were doing quite a bit of live performance. That is less so now, but has it had an impact on your work, or is this a lovely time where you can hole up and write your heart out?
Yeah, I think this creative shift is really big, and it's a time of investigation and research and playing around with ideas of like, we are not on a stage anymore. And it'll, I feel, will be a long time before poets who only had small audiences, right? Like if I did a show, I'll probably would get maybe 100, maybe even 200 people there. And so during a time at a during a pandemic, during the weight of these seasons, you're not going to render those numbers, and they won't be worthy enough for the risk, right? And so we have to find clever ways of engaging our art, clever ways of putting art on platforms. And I'm all for it. I'm all for like, where does innovation lie when it comes to delivering art and information to the people? Because the goal is always art to people. And that's where we have to always figure out how to shuttle work. And it is shifting, and it will always shift. And so we should be prepared. Or learn, move with the shift in the tide.
When I asked you to read a moment ago, you said, do I want a long one or a short one? So we have a moment left. Can I ask for the short one?
Oh, let's do a short one. Let's see what we have here. I met a girl who walked down Broad and Market looking for her memories, who tried to cut her memories out of herself but never carved exactly where the pain was. Another who had been digging for her memories so long when she stopped, she didn't know if she was supposed to lay the body or the seed. I know a woman who gathered her memories like old gold, pawned them for new memories, and never talked about the jewelry again.
Jasmine Manns, reading from Black Girl Call Home, a new poetry collection that is out from Berkeley. It is tremendous. Jasmine, thank you so much for sharing with us. I wish you all the luck in the world. Thank you.
The pleasure is mine. Thank you.
Be well. Thank you. Again, Black Girl Call Home is the name of the collection. It is published by Berkeley. Jasmine Manns is the poet. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.